from Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Today we've got something that is a little outside the norm for us and a band that you might not be familiar with. I will introduce you to the band Moonhooch. From my left to my right, James Mushler is here, Michael Wilbur is here, and Wenzel McGowan. Hello, gentlemen. Welcome to JPR.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure. You've got quite the setup. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. Let's go back to your formation. The three of you were jazz students in New York. Is that true?
It is.
And how did the three of you come together with the different ideas that you brought to this trio?
Well, we were all in different ensembles at a school called the New School. We were studying jazz music there. And I was playing in some groups with Wenzel, and I was playing in some groups with Mike, but the three of us had never really played with each other until 2010. And we actually weren't even in the school. We were outside of school, just playing on the street and busking for money. And Wenzel and I were playing, and Mike was around with his tenor. So when he joined in, there was just this chemistry that, you know, things just it just all clicked. You know, people started dancing, and we were like, we should keep doing this.
Yeah. Did the school have a pretty strict set curriculum of the kind of jazz you were studying or supposed to be playing, or was it very wide open and allowed for a lot of creative freedom?
It kind of depended on the teacher. I feel like as a school, the New School is, you know, more open-minded, more so than, you know, other jazz institutions. There's a lot of really open-minded musicians and teachers there that, you know, some have really far out ideas, some have really, you know, more traditional, conventional ideas.
Yeah. You mentioned busking. There are definitely videos out there on YouTube of the three of you performing, busking, playing in front of walk-by crowds, a style that is hard to describe if you don't really know your music, if you've never seen or ever heard Moonhooch before. It's sort of a combination of free jazz, EDM, dubstep. There are reggae beats at times in songs. How did that get started?
I mean, you know, the evolution of the music is kind of just ongoing. You know, it started in one place. It started in this very kind of very happy, kind of very simple song structure. And, you know, every song was the same instrumentation, two saxophones and drums. And I guess the seed of that original sound is the collective... you know, it's the collective input of all of our collective inspirations. The year before Moonhooch started, Wenzel was producing house music and working on a cruise, playing in a band, and, you know, working in this new idiom that Mike and I had never been exposed to. So when he came back to New York after working on the cruise ship, he kind of, you know, facilitated that seed of the idea, you know, the idea of playing house music with, you know, this instrumentation, you know, this format.
Early on, it started as drums and a couple of tenor saxes. Wenzel, you started to augment your saxophone, right? And then have, over the years, have started to add to your stable. There's a baritone sax, there's now an electronic wind instrument, there's a Moog here in the studio. Did you have all of those sounds and those ideas in mind from the outset, but just not the resources yet? Or have things kind of evolved as you have grown as a trio?
You know, it was a spontaneous reaction to the needs of the situation. So we didn't intend to form a band, but as soon as we started playing, something happened and it worked, and there was an energy there that was clearly affecting people.
Sure.
And from that point on, I thought, how can we make this band more, how can we bring in more bass? Because we had two tenor saxophones. So I looked into buying a baritone saxophone. It was really broke at the time. Bass saxophone is even more expensive. So right. I was like, okay, well, clearly it's not going to be through getting a bigger saxophone. But as I was having this thought, I was looking to the side of myself, and there was a bundle of cardboard tubes that a fashion student had thrown out in a frantic fit and desperation with society, I assume. So I took one of these cardboard tubes and just with a bread knife, started cutting different sizes, and drove my girlfriend crazy because I took over the whole apartment with my tubes and cutting them. And finally, I found one that resonates in a low C. And I brought it to the guys. I was like, hey, let's write a song with this. And, you know, at the time, they were both still in school. So we locked ourselves in a practice room in school and just experimented for 8 hours until we had the song written.
Huh. Well, one artist that each one of you have mentioned as being instrumental is John Coltrane. Tell me about how Coltrane's music still finds its way into what you do as an inspiration. Is it the improv? Is it the style of playing when you go kind of free form in some of the instrumental breaks in the middle of your tunes?
I think if you really listen to the intention Coltrane puts into the music, I don't know if that intention is audible to anybody that listens to his music or just somebody that really intensely studies it. I can certainly say for myself, after learning his songs and transcribing his solos and practicing them, I started to open myself up to the energy that he was putting out. And it touched me on such a deep level that it brings tears to my eyes, what he has done, how he has devoted his life to practice and to music. And some people consider him a saint. There's even a church for John Coltrane. And so he has deeply touched and inspired all of us.
There is another jazz luminary that actually has a connection to this band, and it's through your saxophone, Michael. I was shocked to read this story that your sax has quite the pedigree.
Miguel Manuel gave me a tenor saxophone on his roof one night. And he said, hey, man, you want to see Sonny Stitt's horn?
Sonny Stitt, legendary alto and tenor saxophonist from 40s, 50s into the 60s. Played with Miles Davis, played with Dizzy.
Absolutely. And he brought me downstairs and took out this beautiful old Con 10M from 1941. And he said, play it. If you like it, it's yours.
No kidding.
And I was like, really?
Well, of course you loved it.
Yeah, I was like, I already love it. So I went and played it, and of course I loved it, and I've been playing on it ever since. There have been a few others that have, you know, interfered with my relationship with this 10M, but ultimately it's the horn of my dreams.
And have you been able to verify the story that it truly was his?
Yes. So there's this book called Bird Lives, and in that book is a photo of Sonny Stitt playing this tenor.
That's fantastic.
Really? Yeah.
You never told me that.
That's so cool.
That's awesome.
And yeah, it's a relic. I mean, just looking at it, it looks like something that was taken from a crypt.
Yeah, it looks like it's been dipped in acid.
Oh yeah, yeah. Definitely. But it's not. This just, it's been passed down. People in Nestico's band played this, and it's just been passed down. Horn players. Cool. Generations.
Cool.
So,
well, I'm looking forward to hearing you guys play, and we're going to do something a little bit different than we normally do. Rather than three different songs, you guys kind of tend to batch your songs together into big long sets, a lot like an EDM show, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys are going to do three of them though, so there will be different parts. What are you going to do, and in what order are you going to play them for us?
We're going to first play a new song entitled Ashland. And it was inspired by coming here today and not having a name for the song.
I like it.
The second one is Iwi.
Okay, this is the song for which there is a sort of a wedding band video, right?
Right,
okay.
Exactly. And it stands for electronic wind instrument.
Which we'll put a picture of the Iwi up on our website after the session today.
And the third song, did we decide on a name for that?
Yeah, I think...
Life on
Other Planets.
Yeah, also a song that didn't have a name. Yeah, never have released that song, so.
So we've got them here.
This is a Life on Other Planets release.
Okay, Moon Hooch, my guests, live here on Jefferson Public Radio.
Thank you.
That is Moon Hooch playing live for us here on Jefferson Public Radio. You heard Ashland, Iwi, and Life on Other Planets. I don't even really know where to start with that. other than to ask if you guys these days ever go back to that simplistic busking style of just a couple of saxes and drums, or have you left all of that in the past? By the way, you guys are all exhausted after that one medley of tunes. Do you ever go back to that simple style?
We do. For our encores, usually we'll play a nice simple two-tenor tune to wrap it up.
You know? I mean, it really does look exhausting.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
How long is a typical Moonhoot show start to finish?
Hour and a half.
Wow. I mean, like I said, you guys are literally sweaty and panting after one, 12, 13-minute tune.
It took several years to reach this level of stamina.
Yeah.
I remember when we first started, just playing half an hour straight in this configuration was exhausting, because as a jazz saxophonist, you usually get to take breaks between solos, while the piano player or the guitar player solos. But we don't have this, so it's either we're playing bass or we're playing melody or we're playing solos or we're playing the whole time.
There are also moments in your songs, Michael, both you and Wenzel, where you delve into circular breathing a lot for extended solos. That in and of itself is exhausting, especially on a horn that you blow a lot of air through. It's easier on a smaller bore, but on a tenor sax, I can't imagine trying to do it on a baritone sax.
Yeah.
So even during those breaks when the sort of energy of the band has subsided a little bit, you're still putting out a ton of effort into these long extended moments. So you really truly don't get to relax at all.
Mm.
Well, I think it's a matter of finding relaxation within the strenuous activity. You know, the best shows are when I'm fully relaxed, even though I'm exerting myself physically. If I focus on relaxing the muscles in my body and relaxing my mind, you know, clearing thoughts, it actually doesn't feel very exhausting at all.
Hmm.
At the end, I feel energized.
Yeah.
And so I think it's more a matter of focus, following your breath and letting thoughts and tension in the body go away.
Hmm. You mentioned you never really expected to be a band. Did you ever have thoughts that you would be where you are now? And I don't just mean sitting on the floor in our studio,
really.
but you know, millions of views of your videos on YouTube and, you know, NPR Music totally doting on what you guys are putting out and huge crowds.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're all so grateful every day. And I thought, like, I was going to be, I was going to have to work, you know, a few jobs on the side to be able to, you know, keep doing music, but we all get to do it just
every day. Yeah, I
remember
a conversation James and I were having like a couple of weeks before Moonhood started. We were going out to the subways to busk. And James was like, yeah, man, like, because all our friends, like the brilliant musicians, and there's just like no market for jazz. And so we were all kind of thinking like, how are we going to support ourselves? And this opportunity just fell into our lap, and we kind of been riding this wave that we never knew would take us on this ride.
Yeah. And you guys ended up doing a TEDx event also.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that seems wild for a band that was not many years ago literally playing in the subways.
Yeah.
It's pretty surreal. It's almost like coming out of somebody else's dream.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it kind of just happened. I was playing in a funk band. I was playing a bunch of different bands, all different styles, but I never saw myself. I guess I always thought that I would be kind of obscure, you know, playing free jazz or whatever you want to call it, improvised music mainly.
Do you guys have a name for what it is that you play?
Cave music.
Yeah. That's fitting.
It's less fitting nowadays because the cave has become a bit of a...
It's got electricity now.
It's got electricity. It's become a studio.
It's a studio cave.
It's studio music.
Oh. Yeah, maybe we call it Studio Cave.
Where are you guys at in the music release cycle? A couple of the things that you played for us today are not released. You've got a couple of EPs that have come out in the last year. The Joshua Tree, Live at the Cathedral. What is next for you? What's coming out?
We are right now releasing three singles. Part of in a greater EP called Light It Up. And, you know, the first track is Acid Mountain, the second Growing Up, and the third Light It Up. And we'll be releasing those sequentially over the next few weeks.
Oh, cool. Well, it's been a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
Thanks for showing off what you guys do.
Yeah, appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Moon Hooch, my guest live today here on Jefferson Public Radio. James Mushler on drums, percussion, Michael Wilbur on tenor saxophone and Moog at times, Wenzel McGowan on tenor sax, iwi, Moog, and all sorts of things in between. Guys, thanks again for coming by.
Thank you.